Support for Millennial comes from Chef Steps, a food and technology company that wants to help people cook smarter. The last time I made a solid home-cooked meal was for my birthday. I had a whole chicken, put some lemon on it, maple syrup on the outside. It was delicious, but I was checking the oven as passionately as I check my phone. With Joule, a new sous vide tool from Chef Steps, the next time I make a birthday chicken, I can make it like a fancy chef without checking my oven. This is to my girl, Devin Paris, my foodie queen. You would love this. Colin, that's her boyfriend. It could possibly be a Christmas present, just saying. All you have to do is pick out the kind of food you want to eat, and Joule does the rest. It's crazy easy. To learn more, check out chefsteps.com/Joule. That's chefsteps.com/JOULE. Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. You know when your two favorite things come together, like dark chocolate and raspberries, autumn leaves and hot cider? Well, Squarespace and Google are coming together to help you look professional online. When you create a custom domain and a beautiful business website with Squarespace, you'll receive a free year of business email and professional tools from Google. If you've been putting off making a website, now's the time! Do it! Visit squarespace.com/Google to start your free trial. Use offer code BLOGGER, BLOGGER, for 10% off your first purchase. Google and Squarespace. Make it professional. Make it beautiful. So I just got back from the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago. It's basically the Sundance of audio. At the end of the festival, there's a big award ceremony where the industry celebrates the best audio stories.
And I'm honored to present the 2016 Best Documentary Gold Award.
And this year, I'm sitting in the crowd when I hear The Heart, our sister podcast at Radiotopia, being announced as the Gold Award winner for Best Documentary. In a huge banquet room, I'm not the only one standing and cheering. In our industry, receiving this award is a big, big deal. I could not be more proud and happy for this show and the women behind it, Caitlin Prest and Mitra Kaboli. They inspire me every day to be a better producer than I was the day before. And I'm lucky, because they're also my colleagues.
Wow. We're going to, like, really try and keep it together right now. It's just really great that, like, a story about, like, a woman and her vagina can, like, win an award.
Send your love to The Heart via Facebook or Instagram, and treat your ears by listening to their award-winning piece, Maria. Go to theheartradio.org or subscribe to The Heart wherever you get your podcasts, and tell your friends. Before we get started, I want to let you know I have a cold. It comes with a scratchy throat, and that's why my voice sounds like this. Now, on with the show.
Her podcast is doing so well that she was able to leave her job and she got a distribution deal. So she's going to start working for herself, which is pretty exciting. But that also means that because of that, we have to go to Portland.
Last March, my boyfriend Ben and I were living in Kittery, Maine, which is on the border of New Hampshire. I just started working on Millennial full time when we decided to move back to Portland, which means we had to break our lease.
I don't want to be a pain, but technically you have a lease for 12 months.
No, I can take care of it. No, I can take care of it. It's no problem.
I'm trying to, accommodate you guys because I think you guys are nice people. And, you know, I'm willing to let go of your lease if you can find a replacement for yourself.
I really appreciate it.
Ben hangs up the phone with our landlord and immediately turns to me.
That's it. There you go.
Thanks.
Feel better?
I do.
Good.
Breaking a lease isn't fun. And I really don't like letting people down, especially when I've signed a contract. But I've learned it can be done with little consequences, as long as you give your landlord enough notice and help find a replacement. We've done this before. In the 2 years we've been living together, we've moved 3 times, which makes sense, right? We're unmarried, with no kids, and we're pretty much living year to year as renters. To be honest, this is the part of being in your 20s that I like. Every time I see someone announcing an engagement, buying a house, or having a baby, I cringe a little. Not because I'm not happy for them, but because it feels like people are clipping their wings. Why tie yourself down when there's still so much left to explore? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s.
Best apartment in Portland, Maine.
After that conversation with our landlord, Ben and I are sitting at our kitchen table. I have a pen in my hand, and I'm getting ready to make a list of ideal characteristics we're looking for in an apartment. Breaking a lease is only the first step. Now we have to find a new place.
Come on, Ben. Let's be enthusiastic about this.
We're driving in the car to see an apartment, and I take this time to give a little pep talk.
We're possibly going to go see a nice place, walking distance from something.
From something?
Yeah.
It is walking distance from something.
Yeah, we like that.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Ben and I Craigslist hard. We have our company cards in our pockets, and we're wearing our best business casual outfits. It's a cutthroat marketplace. We want to tell our landlords we're young professionals who pay our rent on time and won't have too many loud parties.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Are we the first one?
We are.
Oh, nice.
Great.
I'm Megan.
Megan, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
But there are a lot of things we can't control.
Let me tell you one thing about the bathroom. It's kind of the only...
Some apartments have issues. Small ones.
So it works, hot water works, the shower works and everything, but it's a little unconventional the way that we're working it right now.
Hi!
And big ones.
Yeah, smells stanky.
Smells like... That's cat urine.
I could hear you smelling.
I know. And I was like sniffing around each room... And it's the bathroom. I mean, I texted my mom. I said, smells like cat. And she said, that decides it.
Some are beautiful, but are a little more than our budget.
26, 27, 28, 29, 30. It's a 35 feet long.
And that's just the one room. Wow, this is really big. Oh my gosh, this could become like a little studio.
And some have an amazing closet space, which always catches my eye.
Well, we at least have to, like, give her all of our paperwork, I don't know, and, like, get her to do a background check and be like, we're very, very serious.
So what do you think about that one?
I think it's fine. I mean, it's not really nice, do you know?
Yeah.
But it's a good price, and it's in a good location, and it would be fine for our needs.
After Ben and I have seen all these apartments, it becomes a waiting game.
Well, first of all, we still have to get chosen, you know?
I don't like that.
I know you don't like that.
It's too fruity.
What does that mean?
It's just like, it could be based on any number of factors. You could have been wearing shoes that they didn't like, and they're like, I just got a bad vibe. Like, it could be anything.
He's right. But luckily, we get a call.
Good job! Woohoo! Woo! We are the first people out of 11. That's crazy.
I guess leaving our business cards did work.
Do you want to move this up together?
Where did you get this?
Chuck, Ben's father, points to our couch.
Off the street.
Off the street?
Off the street.
Off the street.
Yeah, the street. It's pretty nice, huh?
Tip it over that way. No.
This way?
Yes.
Yeah. Like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we finally do move into the apartment, it has pastel walls that remind me of Easter and an electric stove that makes me a little sad. It also doesn't really feel like our home. Ben and I sometimes dream talk about things we would change. We'd install granite countertops and we'd have a gas stove. We also think, wouldn't it be nice to paint our walls? Or install some new lighting. But we can't. That's the trade-off with renting. It's not yours, so you can leave any time, but it's also not yours. Home improvements take money, and even though maybe they'd make our temporary home feel a little cozier, it's money we'd never get back. So usually, we keep the dream talk to dream talk. I don't have a lot of friends who aren't renters, but when I jump on the phone, I find out I have at least one. More on that in a minute, but first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from FreshBooks, an accounting software that makes running your small business easy, fast, and secure. When I decided to pursue Millennial full-time, I had to figure out billing, invoicing, and how to manage my cash flow all by myself. FreshBooks makes all of that so easy. And with their new revamped platform, they make accounting look so beautiful. Each page is beautifully designed, simple and clean, and it answers questions you didn't even know you had. Like when you log in, you may be asking yourself subconsciously, how much is my business making? And boom, FreshBooks tells you right off the bat. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day free trial to Millennial listeners. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's. And when they ask you, how did you hear about us? Support the show and enter Millennial.
You bought a house?
What?
Oh my gosh. Wait. What's going on? Are you guys getting married? How can you guys buy a house and not get married? No pressure.
Oh my God, you're so traditional, Megan.
This is Bailey. We've known each other since high school, and this is news that I would have never expected from her, even though she and her boyfriend Eddie have been dating for 9 years. So tell me what's going on. What is going on?
It's definitely not something I would have envisioned doing at this stage, I don't think, a few years ago.
Me neither, Bay. That's what I want to say. Bailey's the type of person who's always traveled. The moment we were out of high school, she headed off to Rome to study for a few years. Then she got her master's in Ireland, backpacked around India, and did an internship in Switzerland. I never saw Bailey as a homebody. In fact, I always saw her as being a little bit like me, someone who rather spent her money on a plane ticket than a nice couch.
Were you surprised at your wanting to buy a house?
Yes and no. I've always wanted to go see different places and explore different things, but not at the exclusion of being home. When I was like in Switzerland interning with the UN, I mean, I'm really happy that I did that, but I wasn't like super happy. I wasn't depressed or unhappy per se, but I feel like the times in my life that I have felt happiest don't necessarily coincide with the times in my life that I've felt the most, like, professionally fulfilled.
I get that. But how do you go from that feeling to buying a house?
It wasn't that we ever really sat down and had a serious, like, okay, we're going to do this. This is, like, a life step. We're committing to doing it. It was just kind of something we started slowly considering.
Just even the thought of buying a house, right, is that when you buy a house, you're going to be paying it back for, like, 15 to 20 years.
When we researched this, it was more like 15 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And so for me,
I'm well aware.
Yeah. So for me, all of a sudden, I've felt like my life has, I want to say, like, increased in the years passing before my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder when you and Eddie were deciding, you know, what house to buy, were you thinking about the 20-year plan in this one purchase?
We didn't want to buy a house that we felt like we could grow out of in 5 years, because it was such a big decision. And because for both of us, our just kind of sense of normalcy was that when you bought a house, like, you were there, like, long term.
Were you thinking about children, though?
It's not something that's really pushed at the back of my mind, like, since, but definitely when we were in that process, I thought about it a lot.
Were those conversations hard at all?
Not from a relationship standpoint, I don't think so. I think some of the, like, some of the discomfort in those conversations didn't come until later. Like, it's easy to talk about money in abstract. It's when you're, like, actually at a bank and you're signing away, like, all of your savings and putting it in with somebody else's money who you're not married to, that becomes, like, much less abstract and much more frightening.
I'm definitely, like, very scared of commitment, you know?
Like, it is a really scary prospect. It's a difficult, like, thing to like come to grips with. And there's times that it's like that seems easier. And there's times that it's like, oh, why did I think that this was something I wanted? Why did, like, I want to tie myself here? Was I just being emotional? Like, but ultimately, professionally, I probably would be more fulfilled elsewhere. But that's not the most important thing in my life.
Yeah, no, these are just things I've been thinking about.
Right, and if I were you and I had the luxury of still being able to, like, maintain my job while having that mobility, the idea of owning a house and being stuck in one place would seem much less practical and appealing.
But that's not entirely true. After I talked to Bailey and look around my rented living room with its pastel walls, the idea of owning a home is actually kind of appealing. And I'm not the only one who thinks so.
I mean, I like the idea of having projects to do.
Like physical projects.
Ben and I find ourselves traveling in a car with the windows rolled down. And this is where we first start talking about what it would be like if we owned a home.
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to construct something and have it be ours.
To me, the upstairs-downstairs thing isn't bad. To me, it feels more like a house. It could just be a
house.
Like
if we wanted to have a family.
Yeah.
Did I just say that? Did our 30-year plan creep into our casual conversation? I think it did. But it doesn't faze Ben at all.
We'll start looking. So we can start looking.
Start looking. I put it that way because it feels like something we want to try out. Look at homes and dream a little. But dreaming can sometimes be dangerous. Our place would be in Portland, on the peninsula, maybe a block from the ocean. We'd be able to look over the bay. The ceilings would be 10 feet tall. The walls would be painted white, and everything would look like a clean IKEA ad. IKEA's not paying me to say this, by the way, but it would be tight if they became a sponsor. Just putting that out there. It would have hardwood floors, wonderful neighbors, and lots of light. And this place would feel like us. My question is, how do I make this less of a dream? I go online and start doing some research. When I type in Portland, Maine, and look at houses in the neighborhood we're already living in, I'm shocked. The prices are unreachable. There's a two-bedroom, one-bath for $350,000. Where would we get the money for that? And that's just an apartment. There's a place that looks more like a house, and it's $2 million. In the neighborhood that we're living in, there's nothing under $330,000. Buying a house feels more intangible than I thought. A week later, Ben and I are walking home from work, passing houses that I now know are worth $700,000 to $1 million. But it's not just the financial realities that have been a wake-up call to me.
I will say that thinking about houses
It forces you to like think about your life in like 20 years.
What do you mean?
You know, when we look at a house, like the one that we saw in the woods, I'm like, that's a nice place for two children and a dog, you know? And I'm like, oh, do I want to be thinking about that right now? Yeah. Buying a house has like a lot more pressure.
About 5 minutes later.
So what should we do about this house thing? Are we gonna be at a standstill? Should we just like, you know, like keep...
Well, wait a minute, you need to back up, because you're just saying that you don't want to think about 20 years.
I know, it's...
It sounds like you're at a standstill.
Right, but I don't want to be at a standstill. I feel like... Okay. I feel like naturally for me, when it comes to fight or flight, it's natural for me to want to flight or want to do nothing.
Neither of those things are natural for me.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I feel...
No, I don't want to be on pause about it, and then talking about it or thinking about it excites me.
Okay, so that's what
I want to go right through whatever the storm is so we can get over it.
Yeah, I guess it's like up to us what order we want to do things in, right? Is that a discussion you want to have?
Sure. That's any kind of discussion you want to have.
Well, how are you feeling?
What are you dancing around right now? What are you dancing around?
I guess we have to talk about, like, yeah, how long we want to stay at the place where we are. Huh? How, when do we want to get married or start saving for a place? You know, like, do you think that stuff needs a timeline to make it feel like there's momentum in that direction?
Sure. Ben says sure, like I'm asking him if he wants some ketchup on his sandwich or something. Apparently, I'm the only one with this kind of anxiety.
Does it scare you that could, like, instigate all these other questions about our life in the future? Our lives in the future? You know?
I think it could instigate other questions, but that doesn't worry me.
Like, what are our next steps?
I guess our next steps are talking.
Uh-huh.
So there's, like, more conversations to have.
Uh-huh.
What are those conversations you want to have?
Talking about the future together? What does that look like financially? For us.
And so we have more conversations. We're still having more conversations. There's a lot that comes with buying a house with someone. More than just paying a mortgage instead of rent. There's a commitment to a place and a person that can't just be broken with a phone call. So we've shelved the idea of buying a house for now. Which is a bit of a relief. But I still dream about what it would be like.
Hey, girl!
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's good to see you.
I know,
you too.
When I'm back in Columbus, I schedule time to see Bailey. I jump in her car and we head towards her home.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh, this is it. Oh, this is sweet. Is that your neighbor?
No,
oh, he just waved to you. Oh my God, Bailey. What? Wow. Oh my gosh. Oh my God, I can't believe you own a home.
Oh God, Megan, I can't believe it either.
Oh my God. This is so sweet. Did it come with the flowers?
Yeah, it did.
It did? Wow.
We step inside her new house.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Bailey, it's so beautiful. Look at this floor and these beautiful bay windows.
Yeah.
And you have a fire pit. What? Okay, well, you have to describe it.
how am I describing it?
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
This is my living room.
Yeah. Well, no, tell me what we're looking at and stuff.
So it features one of the...
The finest.
Not three items in this house that were not bought used.
Watching Bailey in her new home, she doesn't look like a bird with clipped wings. She looks instead like she's made a nest. I don't know if I've ever seen her so happy. Ben and I aren't ready to trade in our 12-month lease for a 30-year mortgage, but that doesn't mean we're not thinking about the future. When I turn on our electric stove or look up in our shower and see a little bit of mold growing, I think about how nice it would be to own a home. And when I look across the table at Ben, I can't help but dream about how nice it would be to own a home with him. Someday. Devin Taylor edits Millennial, and Justine Paradise provides production assistance. The voices you heard were Bailey Cleary and Ben Severance. Ben and I did eventually ask our landlords if we could paint.
So we painted.
It's like it's white.
Yeah. We painted it white. We may paint this room white.
Sure.
To keep tabs on Millennial, sign up for our newsletter at millennialpodcast.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, Facebook, or Instagram. Support to produce this episode was provided by The Knight Foundation and MailChimp. Millennial is a proud member of PRX and Radiotopia. I'm Megan Tan. Thanks for listening. Millennial would like to say thank you to Squarespace for being our first sponsor ever and for continuing to support the show. You know when your two favorite things come together, like dark chocolate and raspberries, autumn leaves, and hot cider? Well, Squarespace and Google are coming together to help you look professional online. When you create a custom domain and a beautiful business website with Squarespace, you'll receive a free year of business email and professional tools from Google. Visit squarespace.com/Google to start your free trial. Use offer code BLOGGER, BLOGGER, for 10% off your first purchase. Google and Squarespace. Make it professional. Make it beautiful.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
99% Invisible is a show about design and architecture. But really, it's a show about who we are through the lens of what we build. There was a human who made a decision at every joint, every seam, and every detail in the built world. When I choose what I want to wear every day, I think my taste comes from my own style. But in the episode, The Trend Forecast, it challenges any unique fashion design.
And you might be saying to yourself, trends are for trendy people. I follow nerd stuff, like podcasts. I don't follow trends.
They might say that, but they do. They're lying.
WGSN is the company that might have determined what you are wearing right now.
And I'd never heard of it.
Roman and his team will guide you through the stories of design that exists right underneath your nose. Subscribe to 99% Invisible wherever you get your podcasts or visit 99pi.org.
Radiotopia.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad serving platform to Radiotopia.